WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti, and we start with a warning from Israel for the residents of Gaza City to move and move fast for their own safety, saying Israeli forces will be operating there soon.
I'm CBS News UN correspondent Pamela Falk. Israel's military told 1.1 million people living in northern Gaza that they must evacuate to the south in the next 24 hours. The notice was given to the UN Humanitarian Affairs Division and the UN's Department of Safety and Security in Gaza, and includes the entire population, including UN staff and UN schools and health centers.
The UN says this is not doable. Moving a million people in a day asks Israel to pull the warning. Hamas calls the warning fake propaganda, urges Gaza residents to ignore it. This as Israel mourns and conducts burials and tries to come to terms with what happened last weekend.
In the scrubland of southern Israel is strewn the aftermath of a party that became a bloody massacre.
Look, people's mattresses, their tents, their blankets are still here.
Thousands of people were gathered here around 3 miles from the border with the Gaza Strip, sitting ducks for Hamas.
Correspondent Holly Williams. Also related, a new development involving that frozen Iranian money the Biden administration was unfreezing with strings in exchange for Americans recently released by Iran.
The U.S. and Qatar have an agreement now, a quiet understanding is how it's been described to us, that the money will remain there without Iran's ability to access it. The idea is that ultimately approved vendors, this is what U.S. officials say, would be able to tap that money to buy food and other supplies in a humanitarian sense for the Iranian people. But the White House has been facing bipartisan pressure from Democrats and Republicans alike not to allow Iran to access that money.
Correspondent Ed O'Keefe. One conviction, one acquittal of Denver area police officers in the 2019 death of Elijah McClain.
We, the jury, find that defendant Randy Rodema guilty of criminally negligent homicide.
A third officer still faces trial. With a breakdown in talks and no sign of an end soon to their strike.
Union actors rallied at the Golden Gate Bridge.
I am furious that they're speculating with our lives.
Union actor Solana Paz says the main sticking points remain the use of AI and a streaming viewership bonus.
That is KCBS radio reporter Matt Bigler. In sports, with Taylor Swift again on hand in Kansas City and Travis Kelce notching 9 catches for 124 yards, the KC Chiefs hold off the Denver Broncos. While in baseball, the Phillies have bounced the Braves in the National League Division Series, taking both that game and the series 3-1. The Phillies now advance. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com.
QS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition, rolling into the happier happy hour. Dom, and we'll be happy when we have a fine guest join us at 5:30. He is James Causey from the Journal Sentinel, and he's here to talk about, or will be soon, to talk about dark money, funding, misleading anti-critical race theory ads that are playing out here in the state of Wisconsin. Who's paying for them? We don't freaking know.
And why not? Why don't we know? Why, if you're going to pay for it, stand up and say it, right?
I don't know. We'll ask James Causey when he joins us at 5:30. But now back to the House Speaker race. There's been no vote, but there's been a caucus vote. And if you missed the big news, here in the state of Wisconsin, the Assembly Caucus apparently has met. Robin Voss has announced a press conference, 9:30 tomorrow morning. I'm willing to bet a little more than even money that it's some malfeasance he plans on rolling out tomorrow morning.
No, he's not going to announce his retirement, apologize for the gerrymandering, and just, you know, walk away to run the popcorn kingdom.
I think it's far more likely that Robin Voss will claim the will of his caucus forces him to take up the matter of the impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz. And, you know, they can bleed some votes, but they could still sideline Justice Protasiewicz, despite the advice of the choker, Prosser, I mean, and also John Wilcox, who apparently, former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, they're both apparently advising against the move. Well, but I'm Louis still Butler, betting Rogan Sachs for it.
Geske, appointed by Tommy Thompson. So that's four Supreme Court justices who said, no, don't do it so far. And the only one we don't know about yet is your pal, Pat Rogensack.
Well, if you polled Gableman and a few others, I'm sure you could find a few more willing to go along with it, Dom.
He didn't ask Gableman. Gableman's an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin. Isn't that what Speaker Voss said about him after he hired him, paid him millions and fired him, or cost us millions, then fired him?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't take his advice. That doesn't mean he wouldn't take his advice if he felt like he needed it to justify his move, which, again, doesn't have to be successful, doesn't even have to be voted on the Senate side. All he's got to do is blame it on the caucus and bring it up for a vote, and they will get the prerequisite number of votes, and probably not a lot more than that. But the caucus could give enough coverage to enough moderates and still sideline Protasiewicz. I'm not cheering for it, but I'm preparing for it.
and you're betting on it? You said bigger, better than even money is what you're telling me.
Well, your money's not good here, Dom.
Yeah, fair enough. A gentleman's wager. I just want to hear it, man. I just want to hear it.
I would say it's 51-49 impeachment tomorrow morning.
All right. We'll find out. Can't come soon enough.
Let's turn our attention to the national speaker's race, because there is no speaker of the House, and that means the House can't do anything constitutionally. They're constipated, let's say, Dom. While the next speaker, like the last one, equivocates on the 2020 results, according to Philip Bump over at the Washington Post. Here's what I mean. Rep. Ken Buck, a Republican from Colorado, had a question for the two Republicans leading the race to succeed, Rep. Kevin McCarthy. Who won the 2020 election? That's not really how how it was phrased. Political source said the closed-door meeting, where it was offered as thus, did Donald Trump win the 2020 election? But that was the gist. Buck was asking the potential next leader of the House whether he would side with reality Trump lost, or the barrage of fraud and theft that Trump has been so relentless about presenting. Now, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who won the informal vote for the role on Wednesday morning, and Rep. Jim Jordan apparently chose the barrage. But then the majority of the Republican caucus did too on January 6, 2021, when it counted. Since this was a closed-door meeting, it's not clear exactly how Scalise and Jordan tried to thread that needle, Dom. But Politico's Olivia Beavers reported that some Republicans interpreted Scalise and Jordan's answers as equivocating on the validity of Trump's loss, with at least one saying that the two tried to have it both ways.
Are you kidding me? So they're gonna say, he probably lost, but we want to still continue to fundraise on the fact that he got stolen. I mean, really, this is the Republicans vying for leadership.
Dominic, again, this isn't really surprising. CNN polling has consistently shown that most Republicans in the U.S. think that Joe Biden wasn't legitimately elected in 2020. With a third of Republicans saying there's solid evidence he wasn't. Here's a little fact check for you. There isn't. That evidence does not exist. But more from this. More to the point. The bulk of the caucus each man hopes to lead voted to reject the electors submitted by Arizona and or Pennsylvania in the wake of the riot at the Capitol. After the riot. That is despite a number of Republicans leaving and joining the House in the intervening 2.5 years. Analysis of the considerations of those states' electors showed that more than half the existing Republican conference was in the House on January 6, 2021 and adopted to reject the submitted slates.
More than half. The existing Republican conference.
Dominic, then as now, there was no justifiable cause for turning away electors committed to Biden. But then as now, there was a perceived political benefit to doing so. Legislators like your buddy, Senator Ted Cruz, tried to argue the opposition to recognizing the state's electors was simply performative. But it was obviously a SOP to Trump's insistence that the election was stolen. By the way, Dom, it was not. And most of the conference then voted to reject one or more state electors. Most of them won re-election in 2022. And even pouring a bunch more Republicans into the House didn't sufficiently water down the pro-elector rejection majority. Damn, they still believe it. And the majority of the House still voted to reject the outcome of the 2020 election. Of the Republican caucus, that is.
Philip Bump goes on to write, among those who voted to reject both states' electors were McCarthy, Scalise, and Jordan. So not only is it not a surprise that the candidates for the speakership would waffle on the legitimacy of the 2020 election, given the views of the conference, it's not surprising given their own past actions. It's useful to note, too, that the speaker election may come down to the votes of the most conservative or most right-wing Republican members. That's what happened in January when McCarthy's bid for the position required 15 rounds of votes. If hard right legislators are the swing faction again this time, they're likely to be more insistent that the speaker candidates toe the Trump line in 2020. Of the 1/5 of the Republican conference that is least conservative, about 4 in 5 didn't vote to reject the electors, including new members who didn't vote on the issue. Of the most conservative 1/5, 3/4 voted to reject the electors from one or both states. On Wednesday afternoon, Buck was asked about his question and the responses from Scalise and Jordan. Now, here's what he said. If we don't have the moral clarity to decide whether President Biden won or not, we don't have the moral clarity to rule this country, period.
I agree with him.
If that is true, it is perhaps useful to note that the caucus has been wishy-washy on Biden's election since well before January of this year. Philip Bump writing at the Washington Post.
Pretty sad. Pretty sad.
It's pathetic. It's pathetic. And I got to tell you, I believe it's more likely that some of these folks are making the political calculation to say it was stolen, you know, stop the steal, because that, you know, that's what their voters want to hear. That's what motivates the fundraising, at least on the small dollar part of it, right? So whether or not they're smart enough to know or believe that, no, as indicated here, that, well, they kind of maybe said it was legitimate, but, you know, that doesn't help them in their conference, right? So they're making the political calculation to say it for political reasons. And this is just, it's beyond disarray. It's a disservice. It's immoral. It's wrong. What are you trying to do to this country, man? You think something was stolen? I can't believe that you would think that Trump would have won the election. I mean, think about where we were and what was happening during that election. Of course, the pandemic, the economy's in the tank. Donald Trump, just being Donald Trump, you know, adding on top of things that he's already done. He started planting that seed corn a long time ago, like February, perhaps, even before the election. He's saying things like, well, if we have, everyone gets a ballot or you get it in the mail, well, Republicans are never going to win another election again. He knew the headwinds that he had. He knew as part of the reason he was not forthcoming with the American people as he was with the Washington Post reporter about how bad it was, because he knew it would affect his election. He tried to downplay it. And he got it, apparently almost died. But you're going to tell me that you think that in that environment, with Donald Trump being Donald Trump, the economy being what the economy was at the time, the pandemic raging, the division in this country, and you Republicans could be out there thinking somehow, some way that Donald Trump, people wanted Donald Trump, people wanted more of that? What? Why would you think that?
Well, I would point out to you, Dom, the margin still came down to what? About 11,000 votes in Georgia, about 21,000 in Wisconsin. These were not massive margins despite the political climate. And I would question, you talk about the politics, you know, maybe they're just playing the game. Well, you could call it a simple political expediency, but I would say perhaps they're trying to put in place a plan to more effectively steal the vote or steal the election in 2024. And I would say, look at the impeachment efforts against the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator Megan Wolf. Look at what they're doing in the state of North Carolina, overriding the veto of Roy Cooper, the governor there. And this is not for the betterment of the voters, not to make it more accessible. This is to control the mechanisms and perhaps push out the competent people that currently administer the safe and fair elections. They're stealing 2024. If we don't watch them, come back, more Devils.
The final game of the season for Waukesha South football is this Friday. The Blackshirts at home hosting the last Classic 8 conference matchup with Waukesha North. Both schools move to the Parkland Conference next year. Catch all the action live with Don and Johnny, pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock. Waukesha South hosting crosstown rival Waukesha North this Friday night on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Dom and Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of 6 responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected overnight with scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 48. Winds out of the east, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. Highs level off around 54. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines, hope you can join us at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around. James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel going to join us at 5:30.
Don, we do have some sound from Scalise, but we're talking about the insurrectionist tendencies, the conspiracy QAnon caucus of this entire Republican House, man. More than half. But Mike Lindell, he's the guy that did the cyber ninja thing. Your buddy Gableman went out, right, on taxpayer dollars to a cyber symposium. Well, bad news. Mike Lindell is on a street corner begging at this moment, Dom. Mike Lindell begs for donations after declaring he's lost everything. He's lost everything, Dom. Sad news. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell is pleading that he's in the poorhouse. It's soliciting for charity to help him pay his mounting legal bills. On Wednesday, the bedroom accessory tycoon. How about Lumpy Pillow Tycoon? and 2020 election denier is fending off defamation lawsuits by voting machine companies. Here is what the statement says from Lindell. That's what it's all going for. Not for anything else. Not for crack or anything.
No, not at all.
Lindell said on the streaming platform, Lindell TV, urging viewers to essentially dig in their pockets and sofas for even $5 a month to support the Lindell Offense Fund. Is that so he can offend people? That's being reported by Newsweek. Lindell told the outlet that he intends to put all his focus and energy to secure our elections while stressing the importance of preserving hand-counted ballots over electronic voting machines. He also expected to put the funds to use in a bid to help bankroll Shasta County suit against the state of California after Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill into law that places limits on local government's capacity to count ballots. Still got money for a lawsuit, though. Yeah. Dom, his public appeal for cash comes off the decision by his legal team seeking to quit the chief executive client, claiming they're owed millions of dollars in unpaid bills and expenses in his fight to defend defamation lawsuits filed against him by Smartmatic and Dominion Voting Systems. If they'd only skipped the avocado toast and the Starbucks, Dom. Both companies are taking Lindell to task for attempting to impugn their reputations as he paraded around contesting the 2020 presidential as rigged against ex-president Donald Trump. Now, isn't that exactly what the entire Congress, or at least the vast majority of the Republicans in the Congress? Yeah. Isn't that the assertion they're making to this day?
Well, because they're believing people like Mike Lindell. And you know, it blows my mind, everyone. You know, I talk about the BS meter. Where's your BS meter? As soon as this guy popped up onto the national scene, I thought to myself, who the hell is this guy? Why are we forced to cover him? Why is he giving advice to the president? Same thing with the Kraken lady. What kind of crackpot people are rolling around in the White House right now? I mean, it's an absolute embarrassment. It's poor judgment, certainly. But there is some hope, Crudy. We talked about Ken Buck. I'll throw this on another quickly. From Axios, Ken Buck, a Republican from Colorado, said he voted present during the GOP's internal speaker nomination poll because neither House Majority Leader Steve Scalise nor Rep. Jim Jordan would clearly say if they believe the 2020 election was legitimate. Now, Republican Rep. Ken Buck has been very critical of late, of the wackadoodle Republicans in the House, man. And I commend him for that. You know, I rip on Republicans a lot. Well done, Ken Buck. Yes, of course. Though Scalise ultimately won the Republican Party nomination, he may fail to get the 217 votes needed to clinch the gavel if he can't win over holdouts like Buck. A little bit more from the Axios. Buck said he believes Scalise and Jordan could not publicly say the election was legitimate because they would pay a political penalty in doing so. Along with not answering his question on the 2020 election, Buck also said he is also concerned over Scalise's lack of details on the upcoming spending bill and his failure to commit to holding a vote funding for Ukraine. Buck said that during Wednesday's vote, Scalise received 113, Jordan 99. He said he and two other Republicans voted present, that's three, while eight votes were cast for other candidates. That's 11. Buck said he believes Scalise currently faces seven Republicans who are strongly opposed to his leadership, while seven others, including him, remain undecided. It is now expected that Scalise will meet with all 14 representatives in an attempt to win their vote.
We've got some Scalise sound. Let's play a little bit because you wouldn't want to miss out on this. The perhaps future Speaker of the House, Steve Scalise. This vote's important. Cut one.
It's really, really important that this Congress get back to work. We select a speaker, go to the House floor, get to 218, and then get the House working again.
What's the first order of a Scalise Congress? Cut two.
The first order of business under Speaker Steve Scalise is going to bring a strong resolution expressing support for Israel. We've got a very bipartisan bill, the McCall-Meeks resolution, ready to go right away to express our support for Israel.
More from perhaps future speaker, definitely David Duke without the baggage, Steve Scalise. Keep playing it.
We need to make sure we're sending a message to people all throughout the world that the House is open and doing the people's business.
Is it?
is that what you call it? Is that when most of your folks don't believe that Biden won a legitimate election, even though Trump's guy said it?
I want to hear cut number five, Steve Scalise. This will get solved amongst the Republicans inside the family, Dom. Cut five.
The conversations we've been having with my colleagues over the last few days leading up to this show that there's a resolve that we need to get back to work. There's a lot of business to take care of.
And eventually we'll get around to voting for something or someone. Maybe. The Republican Party's in disarray, Dom.
TikTok, man. Oh, my goodness. Why doesn't Ken Buck run for Speaker of the House? You know what I mean? Come on.
I hear Nancy Pelosi's available.
Hakeem Jeffries would do a fine job. Ken Buck, get a few of your buddies and a couple of the moderates, and let's do some real business.
What about Mike Lindell? He could use it as a fundraising platform. You don't have to serve in the House to be Speaker of the House. Folks, come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. James Causey from the Journal Sentinel. Talking misleading CRT ads right here in Wisconsin.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News special report 6 days after the Gaza border breach and the terrorist attacks that have shocked Israel and much of the world. Israel's military has issued a warning to more than a million people living in one of the most crowded places on Earth.
Civilians of Gaza City, evacuate south for your own safety and the safety of your families, and distance yourself from Hamas terrorists who are using you as human shields.
The UN asks Israel to pull back that warning because of the possible consequences of trying to move that many people that quickly. People in Gaza include trapped Americans describing the Israeli offensive.
You're bombing hospitals, you're bombing buildings, You're bombing houses.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has been in Israel.
We encountered a nation knit together by grief, but also a nation united in resolve. The United States shares that resolve. We stand shoulder to shoulder with the people of Israel.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Tom Foti.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday Happier Happy Hour. It gets better right now, Dom. We got a fine guest. He's joining us. He is James Causey with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. James, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Thank you, James.
We appreciate you doing so, sir. I'm sure, like myself and many that are listening to the show right now, you've probably seen the anti-CRT ads that are running in the state of Wisconsin. And I saw this ad, and it seems, you know, harmless at first. Father and a daughter, and they're talking about all people should get along. We don't need CRT. Is sort of the sentiment behind this ad, but we're not really sure who's behind this ad, sir. So let's start there. Have you seen the ads, and what was your impression when you did?
Yes, I've seen the ads. I mean, you can't miss it. If you turn on the TV, it's on all the time, especially during sports where they really try to capture a large segment of the audience. So yeah, you can't miss it. And when I first saw it, the very first time I saw it, it was actually doing a Packers game. Packers-Bears game. And when I saw it, I thought it was a spoof. I didn't believe it at first. And so I actually used my DVR to rewind it. And I like, I can't believe this. And so when I did the rewind, I actually used my phone to capture it. And I posted it to my social media page, and I wanted to know what people thought about it. And I got all kinds of responses from that post.
Well, I bet you did. The ad paints critical race theory as seeking to divide people by race. And that is what is portrayed there. It also utilizes some video of a Milwaukee teacher who's in an African-American immersion school, and she's doing a pledge of sorts, and they use this pledge out of context to seemingly make this point that CRT is bad. And what was your impression of the misleading use of a Milwaukee teacher?
Well, I think she has a lawsuit where she could sue, because first of all, she didn't agree to be in a commercial. Milwaukee Public Schools and no public schools teach CRT. So the fact that we're trying to portray what she did as critical race theory is a lie. And to paint her in this vein without her permission and to use that clip of her out of context, that's wrong in itself. And to even go even further, the young man in the video, Corey, he's a TikTok guy, he's an influencer, and he actually posted this video that we see of him and his daughter 2 years ago. But the people who wanted to put the CRT commercial together contacted him and wanted to see if he would agree for them to use his likeness or use his video in their commercial, and he agreed to it, and he instantly became famous overnight. Unfortunately, they didn't contact Angela, the teacher, and they just used her clip, and it was taken out of context. I mean, she teaches at a school where I believe it's like 98% African American students who go there or more, and the school uses the Pan Am Pledge of Allegiance, but they also use the traditional Pledge of Allegiance, which they did not show in the ad. And this is just to paint a picture and try to show her in a bad light and try to, you know, further push this anti-CRT movement.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Causey, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, wrote up a piece recently. And James, thank you for doing so. And your perspective is so important. You know, I see this ad, I'm like, same kind of thing. It's like, oh, that's cute. You know, people talking about getting along, and what a great introduction. But it seems the whole thing's a lie, man. The whole thing seemed to be presented as a lie. It's not like critical race theory is being taught in grade school or high school, right? That's not happening.
Right. It's not being taught. And my question is this, you know, why wouldn't we want our young people to be more educated on race and race relations than we were as adults?
Right.
Think about that, because we failed at race relations. And when you really think about it, adults have done a piss poor job at talking about race amongst each other and among people who don't look like us, and having real conversation and making real headway towards improving race relations. We just don't do that. And so why would we not want our kids to be better than us when it comes to talking about race and having real conversations about race and racism and the impact of race and racism? The only people who would be against that is people, in my opinion, is people who want to continue race and racism the way it is. And I think if we do that, we're going to be looking back at ourselves another 20 years, 30, 40 years from now and wonder, why did we allow this to happen?
The commercial doesn't define CRT, right? It doesn't get in. I mean, there's a lot of nuance. I mean, the whole thing is just offensive to me, James. I'm sorry, man. And I remember, you know, years and years ago when I first heard about, you know, systemic and institutional racism, you know, my gut visceral reaction was, wait, what? You know, what? I get racism in individuals and in people, but we're talking about, you know, systems and policies and institutions. And my first reaction was, you got to be kidding me. But of course, you know, upon reflection and, you know, getting a little bit more education, oh my God, yes, you can't go from, you know, the slavery and Jim Crow to what we were and just, you know, flip a switch and think like all of a sudden everything's, you know, it was all wiped out and we're all good and we're all equal now. But I get the feeling that whoever's supporting it and pushing these kinds of their ads want to, you know, downplay downplay it. Racism doesn't exist, James. We had a black president. No, how dangerous, really, for real. I mean, how dangerous do you think that is? Because if someone thinks that people are going to go along and say, well, we fixed all the problems, we don't even have to look at that now. Well, that's when it starts creeping back up.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it. I mean, you could getting upset is one thing, but doing something about it is another thing. I think we're past the point of just being upset that this ad is out there, and we need to move to action in explaining to people why this is dangerous and why not talking about race in this authentic form is bad for us. Like, most people don't understand how most systems and institutions are rooted in race and racism. I mean, if I could share one story with you, I remember a long time ago, I interviewed the detective who interviewed Jeffrey Dahmer. 8 hours, for 8 straight hours after they brought Jeffrey Dahmer in, the serial killer. This is a white guy, white detective who had been on MPD's force for quite some time, and he went on to go teach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He wrote a book, and he wanted me to edit the book. So we met, and we talked, and I wanted to talk to him about crime and statistics across this country. And he said, James, I know what the statistics show. I know that more whites commit crimes than blacks. It's just because there's more white people. But when I close my eyes, James, and I think of a criminal, I think of someone who looks like you, a black guy with dreadlocks, big guy. And he said, that's what I picture in my mind when I think of a criminal. That's a problem. I had on a suit that day. I was dressed to the nines. And I was like, wait a second, you interviewed a serial killer who confessed to you about the most brutal crimes ever recorded and probably some of the worst crimes ever. And when you think of a criminal, you think of someone who looks like me, that's a problem right there. And it goes to show you how racism is intertwined in everything from media to commercials to movies to police forces to educational institutions. It's all in there. And we just have to dissect it, because if we don't change it, it's just going to continue and get worse. And then we get blind to the fact that we don't even see it and recognize it.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest. He is columnist James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Appreciate you sticking around, James. Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, they're behind a lot of the litigation that's against affirmative action or the recognition of race and any sort of financial grant or whatever for college kids, etc. And we hear this claim that, you know, we're now a post-racial colorblind society, and they always quote Martin Luther King Jr. But we see specifically the contention over DEI, state funding for the university system. And we've got Republican lawmakers coming out and say, if you fund DEI, we're gonna punish the entire university system. No raises for anyone. Well, what's wrong with diversity and inclusion? That's what the students tell the faculty they want on the UW campuses. But this seems just like blatant racism to me, James. Am I wrong about this at all, sir?
It's racism. It's racism at its core. And most people don't recognize that, because again, why would we not want to be more educated on race and race relations? I just don't understand. In this country in 2023, we're still having an argument and still debating on whether or not diversity is important to us or not. We know diversity is important. We know when we have a group of all white men, or even if we just have a group of all black men talking about a subject, it makes more sense if we include women, if we include a different race involved in this, if we just have better communication so we don't have blinders on when we come up with solutions. The problem with a lot of our issues is that we don't have enough people of color in the mix when it comes to things, even in the media. And I have to criticize us as well. There's not many black reporters in media today. So it's hard for those voices in a lot of these issues to rise to the top, because we just don't have many people that look like me reporting on the news. And so sometimes you get the sensational type of stories. And sometimes I was even sent my wife sent a letter to Fox 6, because 2 weeks ago on a Friday, we were watching watching the news at 10 o'clock news. In the first, I kid you not, the first 19 minutes of the 30-minute broadcast was all negative news about Black people. It was talking about a high-speed chase, a shooting. They talked about Wisconsin Most Wanted, which was a Black guy. And when they ran out of negative things to say about Milwaukee and Black people here, they went to another state and found something to talk about negative. And it featured somebody of color. So it makes you wonder, you know, why is all of this happening? When they did finally come back with positive news, it was their Hot Shot segment where they used a white girl who's in high school who's a Tumblr, and they used her as the positive story of the day. That has to stop. We have to stop this foolishness and buffoonery because it's ridiculous. And if people can't see this, and I think because we see it so often that we get so used to it and passive to it, we don't even understand what it's doing to us, but it's affecting our brains. There needs to be a Harvard study on this for us to really truly understand it.
James Causey, I tune into a lot of right-wing talk radio in this state. It's overwhelming, especially in the city of Milwaukee. A couple of dominating outfits there. And they often say that policing changed after George Floyd. And they basically said, if I believe their hosts, that, you know, police officers are handcuffed, they can't do their jobs now, and now crime is rampant. It's an ongoing narrative. But James, I want to get your opinions of that narrative.
Well, according to a report that just came out today from MPD, Milwaukee Police Department, crime is actually down like a double-digit points from this time last year. So I don't know if that's true. But if we go back and actually look at it, is policing really better? Why do we celebrate when police and community people work together? It seems like that's always celebrated in the media as a great thing when we know that should take place all the time anyway. I think we still have a long ways to go, especially when it comes to addressing racism within the police department. That's why we have Driving While Black that still continues, but it won't change overnight. It's going to take some time.
James Causey, real quick, last minute, the Be Good to Kids LLC, they're the ones funding the ad. They're not telling us who their funders are. How do we counter this in the next 45 seconds, sir?
We got to keep talking about it. I mean, when you know something is wrong, share my story for one. Keep talking about it, have conversations around it. And what we could do as individuals, if look at your circle of friends, if you don't have any, if everybody looks like you, that's probably a problem, and you may be part of the problem. So include people who don't look like you.
James Causey, thanks for joining us. Hopefully you perceive us as friendly friends. You can be a friend of the devils. James, thanks for coming around. Columnist James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so much. Rest of you. Stick around. More Devil's Advocates. Your phone calls could be next. 844-967-2789.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 49. Winds out of the east 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 54. Overcast skies. Overcast tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows level off around 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. Driving the Devil's train, Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. Time flies when you're having fun. But if you got something to say, hit us up, 844-967-2789.
And thank you to our most recent guest, a fine one, James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a fine columnist we'd like to think of, friend of the Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, he's been around a few times, been a while. So I love to see James always. He's a good dude.
You know what? It doesn't take much to be a friend of the Devil's Advocates. You just got to come around. And we're coming to you. We're coming out to the public. We're going to party at the Jade Monkey next Tuesday, October 17th. Live broadcast, plenty of fine political guests. And then come out and make some friends from some people who aren't just like you. Because no one's just like me, Dom. I'm unique. Uniquely super cool. And I'd look forward to meeting you. Less so, Dom. But you... I'd look forward to meeting at the Jade Monkey. If you've never been there before, there ain't no party like a Devil's Advocates party. I'm just telling you, late in the night.
And the Jade Monkey, Hawk and the crew, fine hosts, and a great place to go and hang
out.
The
coolest of all of Hawk's finer neighborhood bars, in my humble opinion. The Jade Monkey, always the best parties at the Monkey. They're all good. But that one's the best.
That's where I get my Drink Local shirt, man. My Jade Monkey t-shirt. So come on down, have some drinks. We'll do a live broadcast. We'll hang out, talk some politics, talk a little trash, have some fun. Join us. It'll be what, next Tuesday, right?
The only Madison stop on the Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023. Diamond Crew partying in your hometown. But the only stop we're making in Madison, at least at a bar where you can come and party with us and, you know,